Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Agree with everything he says, and you'll get along fine. This is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sweet Jesus, please tell me it's not going to be this way the rest of the season. I mean, not only can't the Leafs win, they've also lost that endearing train wreck quality that at least satiated some of the more macabre viewers out there. And now they've become so, I don't know, so Protestant or something. I mean, it's nice that Peter Horacek is trying to force a little defensive responsibility into this team's DNA, but man, that game last night was tough in the eyes. I mean, they're 1-9-1 in January. They're averaging 1.36 goals per game. And, you know, the Leafs, they've collected something like, what, 9 of a possible 36 points in the last 18 games? They've got the second part of their back-to-back tonight at the ACC against the Arizona Coyotes. They've lost 7 in a row. Whoa. You know what, though? Enough of the doom and gloom. Enough of the doom and gloom. With 33 games left to play, I mean, we're going to have enough of that. We're going to have enough of doom and gloom. Tell me something you saw last night that gave you hope. I mean, I'll say this. From what we're hearing and what we're seeing and what we're sensing, I'd say that for the first time in I don't even know how long, we are actually looking at a team in the process of being stripped down to its very essence. I mean, for the first time in ages, I can actually see this organization taking a deep, deep look at itself and being prepared to make, if necessary, draconian moves. I can see this team being gutted. There really is, for the first time in a long time, a sense that the Leafs are being taken down right to the core. Everything's going to be shaved off right to the bone. I mean, this is like being a kid and having all the freedom in the world and misusing it, only to have your parents suddenly take away all your toys. That's what Peter Horacek and his coaching staff have done to the Maple Leafs. They've taken away all the toys. No more fun. It's going to be like boot camp, both for the Leafs players and for Leafs fans. My guess, we'd better get ready for more of this. Now it's up to you to help me. We'll help each other get through these next 33 games. 2-1 loss to the New Jersey Devils last night. Tell me something positive you saw. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the negatives. Let's talk about the positives.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with us on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
It's frustrating when you get to a shootout and it feels like you lost. And really, for me as a coach, from the coach's standpoint, it's a tie and a bonus point that we just lost.
That's exactly the way to look at it. I mean, I'll say this for Peter Horacek. He ain't interested in moral victories. We're already seeing that from him. I mean, he'll give you the stuff about they're working hard and blah, 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 but you really get the sense that he's not all about moral victories. This is boot camp, folks. It's exactly what this is. It's going to be 33 games of hell. I mean, this is going to try your patience and it's going to try your soul like nothing you've seen. And I heard Kiprios, McLean, and Darren Pang last night, along with Millard, and they, of course, were talking about whether or not the Leafs are going to, can afford to, have the capacity to really do a serious rebuild. And I think what you could read into all their comments, Even when there was a realization that it's going to be awfully hard to do a complete rebuild under the salary cap, and McLean made a terrific, to me, the most salient point when he talked about cornerstone players in the NHL, cornerstone pairings in the NHL. What did they all have in common? They were all drafted by that team. They were all signed by that team. They were all developed by that team. Teams generally don't trade for cornerstone players. And of course, you're throwing out, you know, the cornerstones of the great Red Wings teams, cornerstones of the Blackhawks, Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry in Anaheim. It's really hard to kind of put a team together with cornerstones through free agency or even through trades, even through trading for guys who are in their mid-20s. I really get the sense. I don't think you'll ever hear anybody use the word or the term rebuild in Toronto. But this is one time, this is the first time that I've really got the sense that I mean, this is where the rubber's meeting the road for this group. And I don't think anymore, I don't think it's about this group maybe trying to take a run at the playoffs, or I don't even think it's about this group improving as a group. I think right now what we're seeing is guys playing up trade value, guys playing up market value, guys being tried at different positions. I mean, this is literally boot camp. It's going to be boot camp for the fans. It's going to be boot camp for the Leafs players. Was an ugly 2-1 loss in a shootout to the New Jersey Devils last night. Chris Johnson is our NHL insider in Sportsnet. You can, of course, follow him at Reporter Chris. And, Chris, the Leafs came back from a week off. A slow start last night. I think nine of their first 12 shots were on the power play. And one of the things Peter Horacek has stressed, of course, is getting a real good start. But Chris, I really get the sense that what we're seeing right now is we're seeing the start of a really gruesome process with this team, aren't we? I don't know if we can call it a rebuild, but there's something happening here. This isn't just new coach coming in and trying to impose things in a team. There, for the first time, I see an end to this means, and I guess in some ways that's a positive.
Well, it could be positive. I mean, it's been an ugly month. It doesn't feel like the start of that being happening. But you're right. If you're talking about the big picture and you know, I think what's going to happen here. I mean, there's almost no choice, to be honest. I mean, if you look at, you know, the Leafs situation as regards to the salary cap, I do think that if you decide you can't win with the key players you have making the biggest amount of money, you have to do something about that. And that's not, certainly, I don't mean trade everybody with a high salary, but I think you're going to see some of those players moved out or attempted to move out because, you know, the Leafs need that flexibility. And I think they do need clearly to refresh a little bit some of the top players on their roster. And that probably means, of course, taking a step back a little bit, which I think, you know, people are willing to embrace. I'm sure Brendan Shanahan, after, you know, his first number of months here on the job, is likely concluded what you're concluding in his own way, Jeff, that it just isn't good enough, that the players they have, and, you know, the same guys have been here for all 4 years of these really, really, really tough stretches. I mean, not very many teams go through what the Leafs are doing right now. 9 points out of a possible 36 in their last 18 games. I mean, you're talking about a very rare stretch of poor play in today's NHL where there's so many three-point games and the like. And the Leafs have done it, you know, as I said, a few times the last few years.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We're going to have plenty of time to whine about this team for the next 33 games. Today I feel like at least trying to find something positive out of that performance. A couple of things I saw and a couple of folks on Twitter. And again, if you want to join the conversation on Twitter, use the hashtag Blair Show. A couple of people on Twitter, Chris, pointed out that one shift from Morgan Rielly. And here we are in the end of January, and we're talking about guys' one shift as being a highlight of the game. But there was a shift Morgan Rielly had last night where, I mean, he was just dominant. He dominated both ends of the ice, and it was for about 45 seconds.
It was literally like if you ever played a video game where you can hit the turbo button and you're one guy that you're controlling goes faster than everybody else. I mean, it was a very determined shift from Morgan Rielly. And, you know, I do think Morgan still is one of the bright pieces here. The reason I'm kind of against the notion of a complete teardown is that I actually do think the Leafs have some good young prospects in their system. I'm not saying that they're anywhere near an NHL, but
I think we've got a bum phone line here for Chris. We'll try to get Chris back. I'm glad that he used the reference to turbo button, because that's exactly the reference he used last night on Twitter for that one shift. It was like Morgan Rielly hit the turbo button, and he was on the TV screen for 45 seconds. It was all him. You know, it was a remarkable shift. I'll tell you another thing I saw that impressed me too. At one game, and I'm not going to make broad brush statements about the guy, but I sure saw Peter Granberg. We've got Chris Johnson back. Chris, thanks for joining us. I was just saying, or rejoining us. I was just saying the other thing I saw last night that in snippets, I thought it was impressive, and I'm not going to make a blanket statement about the guy, but Peter Granberg showed an awful lot. A lot more physically than I expected last night. There were a couple of shots of him coming out of the corner. He was nasty. he was using his stick and just walking the line for a minor penalty in a couple of occasions.
It's not always the impression or the stereotype you would have of Swedish hockey players, is
no.
it? But cut from a mold of he does play physical game, and you know he is one of the guys that the Leafs. You know, they brought him up for a game last year at the end of the year. They feel has sort of made the incremental development down with the Toronto Marlies here that you know, could be in a position to step into certainly at least somewhere near the bottom pairings in the future and become more of a regular NHLer. And you know, that's what I was saying just before we got cut off, is that the reason I don't think we have to talk about a total teardown. I think what you're talking about is changing some of the higher profile, higher earning players on the team. But I do think the Leafs, you know, they have had a lot of fairly high draft picks lately, not one or two, but, you know, five, six, seven, eight in that range. And they do have some prospects in the organization. They've got to find the high end somewhere. And that does typically only happen through drafting and developing. And, you know, that's going to take patience, but that's why I don't think the whole notion that every single guy on the roster has to go, which some out there are advocating, is necessarily the way to proceed here.
What did we learn about the Leafs last night, or what did you learn about the Leafs last night in the absence of Dion Phaneuf? Because let's face it, that's for a lot of fans, we are in that stage now where we're looking ahead the next year or even the season after that, and a lot of people are looking at this particular time with Dion Phaneuf out of the lineup as a bit of an acid test. What would this team look like without Dion Phaneuf in the lineup? What did you see last night that surprised you? What did you see last night that maybe disappointed you?
Well, they certainly, you know, held their own structurally defensively in that game. But, you know, the one thing that's maybe tough to measure is, you know, when you're playing a game against New Jersey, they're the sort of team that they're not going to give you much, but they don't tend to generate a whole lot of high-end scoring chances or shots against. So, you know, it might take a little longer to figure out whether, you know, how long this thing can hold up to it. But, you know, I thought from a first game perspective, it was fine, or even better than fine. I mean, the Leafs had a chance to win that game. Obviously, they go for five on a power play, and they had a dangerous power play. They hit a couple posts. I mean, that game was lost in just the slightest margins of what went on. And then, you know, of course, you do flip a coin in a shootout. But you know, defensively, I did think the Leafs held their own, and you know, that was played with, you know, Corbin Holzer on his offside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few guys. You know, that's something, especially on defense, that is a significant factor. Not very many teams like to play players out of position. You know, meaning, you know, if the right hand is on the right side is the preference. And you know, I did think they were fine, and I thought they took it to the Devils for large stretches. It was just a couple little areas of the game. You know, the power plays hurt them lately. I mean, scoring is way down the last little stretch, and I don't think that's necessarily a byproduct of how they're playing in terms of a more defensive structure. I do think part of it is, you know, goals come and go in bunches mm-hmm. around this league.
Well, I was going to say, to me, watching Phil Kessel last night, it's like watching a hitter in a slump, and I think part of the problem is this is a slump that Phil Kessel's in. There's no doubt about it, and I think it's just being magnified because so many other things are going wrong. You know, it's just one part of a not very good picture right now, but you've watched a lot of hockey. I know you've watched a lot of baseball as well. You can tell when a good player is in a slump when he's hitting posts and, you know, shots going wide. And that's what I see with Phil Kessel right now. I just see a guy in a slump.
It absolutely is his case. I mean, Phil, the one thing that for any debate we can have about Phil, and obviously there's been a lot of that in recent months and years, the one thing he is darn consistent. If you see anyone goes and looks at his Hockey DP page and sees the goals and point totals he's had basically since he established himself as a regular NHL player, have been there. But if you go and look at the game by game, there's lots of stretches where he doesn't produce a lot, and those are those slumps. I do think it's part of being a goal scorer. What makes the absolute best guys at it is they don't have as long as slumps, and Phil's probably just below, he's in the second tier scorer. He's very elite, but not quite. He's never pushed it to 50 or been in that sort of territory we see Alex Ovechkin routinely at. But, you're right in his case. He hasn't always played great during these 17, 18 games since he's last scored an even strength goal. But I do think he's been unlucky, a bit snake bitten, and I'm sure he's a pretty superstitious guy with his sticks. He's probably looking to do something crazy to switch it up, because it wouldn't surprise me in the least if we saw him score 3 goals tonight out of nowhere, just because, he's still as dangerous as he always was, and I don't think he's doing all that much differently on the ice, just not getting the result.
No, and I think you and I are both on the same page when it comes to Kessel. I've been very clear. He's a guy I would not move. He's a guy that I think really, I wouldn't call him necessarily a cornerstone player, but he's a guy that you need. You're going to be looking for Phil Kessel at some point. Even if your rebuild goes well, you're going to be looking for Phil Kessel at some point in the next 2 or 3 years. You've got him. You might as well keep him. What I did like last night post-game, Chris, was some of Peter Horacek's comments about Phil Kessel's shot. Finally, a coach kind of giving us an idea, at least of why some of the goals may not be going in, and he's saying we've got to get Phil more engaged in the middle of the ice as opposed to taking so many shots from the outside of the ice. And again, that's, to me, that's a positive. I've got a coach and a coaching staff who are at least trying to figure out how to get this guy going.
And to decipher those comments even further, what he's really saying is he's got to try to do something a little differently to get out of it. I mean, it's like anything you do in life. If you're doing the exact same process, you should expect the same results. And, I think that even while it's not going to be his game long term, I think, even getting more to the front of the net, things like that, where he might be able to get more of a bounce type of goal just to ease the pressure on him, might help. And, I thought it was interesting in the pregame show that, Darren Pang highlighted a stat that Phil scores a higher percentage of his goals from 15 feet and in than any other NHL player. So, part of that is obviously due to his wicked shot. If he gets close to the net, the odds of him scoring go up because of how good his shot is. But, it might just mean he does have to get a little bit more engaged into the middle of the ice, as Peter said, the dirty areas, just to break the slump and move forward.
CJ, it was good of you to join us this morning. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Take care.
Take care. That is Chris Johnson, our NHL insider and Sportsnet. You can follow him at Reporter Chris. The Leafs 2-1 losers in a shootout to the New Jersey Devils last night. They'll get back at it tonight against the Arizona Coyotes. They've lost, 7 in a row? The Arizona Coyotes will play the Leafs tonight at the Air Canada Center. If you want to celebrate or vent about the Leafs after the game, you can call Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne in our Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan immediately following the game. And I have no idea whether they're going to be celebrating or venting. I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. But I want to deal with some of the positives out of last night. Well, like I said, we'll do more WTF Leafs calls as we did the other last week. Got a great response. We'll do more of those. But I didn't really want to do it tonight. This morning. First game back after the All-Star break against the Devils. Just a horrible, horrible game. Horrible environment. I mean, that arena looked like it was about a half full. Just not a good night for hockey. Probably the best way to put it. But like anything else, there are some positives. And I think CJ and myself and maybe a couple of other people, we may end up going down in flames in this, but I'm not absolving Phil Kessel from any responsibility here, but I'm in Phil Kessel's corner right now. I think this is just an old-fashioned slump. You see it with hitters in baseball. You see it with elite athletes in every sport. And the worst thing, and you can talk to anybody, especially a hitter in baseball, the worst thing about a slump is when you're slumping and the team isn't playing well because you've got no shelter. I mean, if you're slumping and the team's playing well, at least you have the feeling that you can contribute by working hard and maybe doing something else. Everybody says, well, if you're not scoring, try to do something else to help the team. That's great, but it's pretty hard to do when your team's losing 9 of 11 games. You like to have some reward if you're an athlete. You like to have some tangible, some evidence that what you're doing is working. And if you're a goal scorer like Phil Kessel and you're not scoring goals and you're attempting to do other things to make up for that and the team's still losing, it's not working. So I'm not absolving Phil Kessel, but I am kind of sticking up for him a little bit. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. There were some positives out of that game. 22 shots on goal, I believe. 23 shots on goal for New Jersey. Okay, New Jersey's not a great offensive team, but in their first game without Dion Phaneuf, the Leafs were not a total mess defensively. There were turnovers, but they were not a total mess defensively. You saw some things from Morgan Riley and Peter Granberg that Jake Gardner needed to have a better game than he had. But Jake Gardner seems to always need to have a better game than he had. And now that Dion Phaneuf's out of the lineup, it is all on Jake Gardner. I mean, fans, if they want to get ugly on somebody, Clarkson might be the guy. But Jake Gardner is also form-fitted for that role now that Phaneuf's out of the lineup. So I saw some positives. Overall, the biggest positive I see is that this looks to me, smells to me, sounds to me, appears to me to be, if not a total rebuild, if not a team in the process of totally blowing itself up, this looks to me like a team that is being picked apart by management and by coaches. Who can do this? Who can't do this? When can they do it? When can't they do it? This is boot camp. This is basically all we want you to do is shut the other team down. I mean, we're talking, the Leafs are getting a crash course in all the gritty, dirty, greasy stuff that good teams have to do. Good teams don't do it in every shift. Good teams score goals, but good teams can play either way. The Leafs right now are getting a crash course in the nastier aspects of the game. Some of them may pass that course. Some of them are definitely going to flunk it. But I don't think we've seen that around here. I don't think we've seen as focused a philosophy as we're seeing now. I mean, Randy Carlyle was kind of a wind them up and let them play guy, and then he'd complain about lack of defensive responsibility. Ron Wilson, the same thing. This is boot camp. So what positives did you see out of the boot camp? Jason and Owen Sound, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff. How are you?
I am fine.
Good. Now, I have to be honest, I don't watch the Leafs, but I thoroughly enjoy your show.
Thank you.
So
thank God you don't have to enjoy the Leafs to enjoy the show. Whew.
Yeah, so true, eh? Although I don't really enjoy too many Toronto sports teams, but that's beside the point.
Not even the Raptors?
My uncle lives in Chicago, so I'm a longtime Bulls
supporter. All right. Well, I see your Bulls weakness. I'm kind of like that, too. I have a soft spot for the Bulls, so I understand that totally. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's suffering right now. But yes. In any event, I think ultimately what I really see, the best part of this, when you want to see a positive, would be if they could somehow suffer enough the rest of the year to actually win a top three lottery pick. Now, I'm not saying this is the year for number three, but generally when you talk about cornerstone players, they are top three drafted players that a team builds around and then brings in a guy like Phil Kessel, who Kessel's an amazing scorer, but he's not the guy who makes other people better. He's the guy who needs somebody to elevate him to a 50-goal scorer type of thing.
100%.
where if you, say, had Brett Hull on the team, he'd be amazing, but you really need Adam Oates to get Brett Hull to 86 goals.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, though, because I covered Brett Hull in Calgary when I was working at the Calgary Herald. I covered him for a couple of years. I know him a little bit. His family actually lived next to my wife's family when they were in Winnipeg, so we have a little bit of a background. Brett Hull was a lot like Phil Kessel early in his career. He relied on, now he was a, you know, he had a great shot, he could skate like the wind, but he was a lot like Phil Kessel early in his career. He wasn't always a cornerstone guy. He was a guy, I used to drive his coaches nuts, and he was a guy who really depended on other people around him to do a lot of the dirty work. He changed. He got much bigger as he got older. He developed a real edge to his game, the same edge his dad had. Everybody associates Bobby as being this, you know, the guy with the big slap shot and the goal scorer. Bobby played with an edge too. Bobby was strong. Bobby would drop the gloves. Bobby would fight. He wouldn't always win, but he was a willing combatant. And Brett didn't fight as much, but Brett gradually became the guy.
And that's exactly the reason, Jeff, that I brought up Brett Hull's name, because I see one in the same. So I appreciate you driving home the nail, because that's why I brought his name up specifically. But that also, I do think that part of the difficulty with Toronto is the fact that there is so much media pressure on the particular team that when they have a little hiccup, then literally the dogs come out and are so relentless because they're expecting them to fail. Where if you go, say, in like my favorite particular hockey team, Pittsburgh, if Mario was slumping or Crosby was slumping, Jagr, et cetera, it kind of flies a little bit under the radar. Mm-hmm. Where in Toronto, they will actually succeed, I truly believe this, and as much as I don't want them to, when a second team arrives in Southern Ontario to deflect some of the criticism when there is a slump.
Yeah.
As you say in baseball, everybody has a slump.
Right.
How long you stay in it.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Jason. I get your point about Pittsburgh, a different media market than Toronto. Here's the thing, that's never going to change. And even if you did, I'll tell you what, if you had a second team in Toronto, you'd have the same amount of coverage on the Leafs. You might have more coverage on the Leafs. You might have more scrutiny in the Leafs. Because God help the Leafs that the second team came in and was better than them. Now you're talking about a White Sox-Cubs scenario. And talk to Cubs fans about what it was like to see the White Sox win a World Series or even go to the playoffs. Doesn't lessen the scrutiny. It just means, I mean, it's great for our business. It means everybody hires more reporters to cover more teams. But your point about the draft is interesting and probably should be reinforced. Let's put it this way. There are teams that have to strip down, or there are teams that are stripping down in order to get in the Connor McDavid sweepstakes. What if the Leafs can get in there and not have to get rid of anybody? Put Connor McDavid on this team next year. Again, we're just talking here. Keep this team the way it is and add Connor McDavid to it. Just think about that. And this may be the thing that works against the notion of a total rebuild as well, is maybe you can accomplish that end without having to get rid of everybody. I mean, if the Leafs are going to play this badly with everybody here, then maybe you don't have to implode it to have a shot at a good draft pick. I mean, it's going to be hard to watch this year, but maybe that's going to be a saving grace. You know who we need to hear from after a game like last night?
The Leafs played last night, so you know what that means.
Oh,
Dangle Dial.
I know what it means. I love this man.
Jeff, do you believe in stuff?
What?
No, I bet you do. You seem like a guy who believes in stuff. You know, I believe everything happens for a reason. And I think lucky number seven, the seventh loss in a row for the Leafs, came
lucky
against New Jersey
seven.
Because that is exactly what Leafs fans are going to need by the end of this season, a New Jersey. Losing to the
Devils
in the shootout,
it
would almost be better to lose to them in regulation. They're terrible
New
at
Jersey.
The shootout. But, you know me, Steve Ativity, always looking on the bright side, Jeff. The Leafs are now approaching first place in the league in moral victories. They could leapfrog the Oilers if they lose their eighth straight. We will see. We'll see how it goes. Jeff?
New Jersey. That's awesome. I hadn't thought of that. See, I get what he's playing at, right? Jersey's on the ice, New Jersey, maybe new fans, New Jersey, Connor that's tremendous. Steve Dangle. You can follow him on Twitter at Steve_Dangle. We talked him after every Leafs game, win or lose. In other words, we talked him after every Leafs game, lose. Steve's got a little positivity going. That's what I want to hear in the, for the remainder of this half hour. Damn it. Anybody can be negative. Anybody can be negative. Some of us have made an art of it. I want positivity. Like Steve Dangle, I want you to find something positive out of that game. I dare you. I double dog dare you to find something positive out of that game. The numbers to call are 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. By the way, if you like what you heard from Steve Dangle, you can check out his NHL videos, including his unique breakdown of Rogers NHL Game Center Live and Game Plus and Sportsnet.ca. He's also got Leafs videos up at theleafsnation.com. We'll be back with more of your calls. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Nothing here to see, just a kill out me, trying to cut some teeth, trying to figure it out. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you, I'm still on here trying to figure it out.
It's a great song.
Getting hard to sleep, blood is in my dreams, love is killing me, trying to figure it out.
All right, I told you could weigh in the conversation on Twitter. Charles Eo sees positives. Morgan Riley looked good. Bernier looked good until shootout. Boring game left me more time to watch Raptors. There you go. That's a positive from last night. Peter S. Rooney. Maybe all the Raptors fans are coming out. The Raptors game was on. That's his positive. I love this. Melvin Ardon. I keep calling, but the line is busy. That's good. Now we know the Leafs can lose without Dion. Time to trade him for picks, hopefully. Again, Linda, positive aspect of Leafs game last night. I was watching the Raptors. You know, when Tim Lewicki said that the Raptors might eventually replace the Leafs as kind of the, you know, as the number one team in the city, I mean, no, we can't go there, can we? Raps, by the way, a machine-like win over the Sacramento Kings last night. DeMar DeRozan is back. Terrence Ross looks like he's back. And yes, I have to admit, that the Blair household, flicking back and forth between the two games, most of the attention was on the Raptors. But there are people coming up with positives, as I've asked. Positives for the Leafs. The obligatory, they're one step closer to McDavid with each game. Closer to the end of the season. A point, a point, a point, a point. And there are some of you, like me, who thought that everything else aside, looked at the game and said, hey, there were, Peter Granberg looked good. And that's about it. Morgan Riley looked pretty good as well. So there are some positives. Jason McNeil, positive. Kessel never said post-game, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Doug in Halifax, Nova Scotia. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. First of all, Doug, how much are you guys dug out yet?
No.
And are you ready for the next blast? I feel sorry. I feel sorry for my friends in the Maritimes. I've talked to a couple of them. And one guy just said, guys my age, he said, enough. I've had enough winter. I'm moving.
That's all right. We're used to it out here. We're getting another 30 centimeters on one day, so we're okay with it.
Well, it's a great city, and you know one thing about snowstorms, a pub stay open. That's all that matters.
That's the main thing, yeah. Now, I just wanted to comment on the positive aspects. I think that, in any game you're going post the first game past All-Star break and you're in New Jersey, you're on the road, that's a tough sled right there because you've got, you've got Lamorello coaching. You're in the trenches there to begin with.
And so it's just not a great atmosphere there with half the place full either.
Yeah, and then a snowstorm in the Eastern Seaboard, it didn't help that either. So it was a tough game to start without Veneau from there as well. But I did see some positives on the power play. Even though they didn't score, they had some real good looks. And I think they were running it. They made an adjustment to go low and look low for that low walk play. And I thought that Bozak, he needed to be a little bit more explosive on the goal line, come to the net, come to the post. And JVR is a little bit, he's static in that high pop-up slot. If he goes to the post, I mean, they've got some chances there. That first goal that's going to come, it's going to be dirty. It's not going to be a pretty goal. But they worked it from the left side. There they have three righties. I think that they should have instead of Gardner at the top, have Franson over there, another right shot that can feed Kessel a little quicker at that triggers option. And, I mean, with Kessel, he's just going to have to. He's not a shrinking violet. He can get a little dirtier, in a jam situation in front of the net as well. After a post shot. And that's how it's going to come for him.
Yeah, Doug, thanks for the call. Look, I think the most interesting thing said by Peter Horacek after the game was pointing out that Phil Kessel does need to get into the dirtier areas. And his comment was, we have to put him in better position to shoot the puck. He's shooting too much from the outside. You heard Chris Johnson say in Hockey Central, Darren Pang pointed out that Phil Kessel gets a higher percentage of goals from 15 feet in than any other forward in the NHL. And that's a valid point. He has got to get a little more engaged. I think that line as a whole, the biggest issue I have with that line is, other than JVR, who does a lot of good work, God, within 5 feet of the goal, he might be one of the best players in the NHL within 5 feet of the goal. He's got great hands. But they just, I don't see them applying themselves enough in front of the net. And I don't think it's that. I don't think Tyler Bozak's, a wilting flower. I don't think Phil Kessel is either. But I just get the sense that sometimes they're a little carried away by their skill. And maybe that's why you saw Leo Komarov haul some shifts in that line. Because he's the exact opposite. But it's a good point. And look, I think the power play, I like the parts in the power play. I liked when they had Kadri back in the point along with Kessel. And that's the thing. It's not, and I'm glad Chris pointed this out after a game like last night. I don't think that everybody the Leafs have is a bad hockey player. I think they're a bad team. I don't think that everybody they have is a bad hockey player. And I'm hoping that when the Leafs do this rebuild or retool or whatever it is we're in right now, I'm going to do a call segment. I'm going to ask you what it is. That's what we're going to do next week. We'll see how the weekend goes. What is it? Is it a rebuild? Is it a retool? Whatever. Because I don't know what it is yet. All I know is something is actually happening with the core of this team. You get that sense. Somebody for the first time in ages is sitting there looking at the core of this team and going, okay, this guy's not good enough. This guy's good enough in this situation. Somebody's actually doing that. I really have that feeling. I have that feeling that there is an attempt being made to figure out what the guts of this team is about and how you move forward improving on it. And I haven't had that feeling for 6 or 7 years. So that to me is a positive. Bob in Scarborough, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
I think Bernier played a great game, and I think Morgan Riley really just showed a lot of spark. And overall, I think that everybody's focusing in the wrong direction. It's not about the players. There's some decent players on this team, but with some bad contracts. And so I don't like to call it a rebuild. I would like to call it a realign. And it needs
All right,
to start,
I like that.
Yeah, and it needs to start from the top with management and ownership to get a guy in there that can run this team, can handle the media. I'm a big Shanahan fan, but I don't think he's a media guy. And in this town, you have to be able to manage that, because if you're not speaking to the media on a regular basis, it looks like you're not doing nothing. And there's only one guy that I believe could come in here and do the job and would woo the fans instantly, and that would be Wayne Gretzky.
Hmm.
And that's the only thing that he hadn't accomplished in his career to bring a Stanley Cup to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think that would just top off everything that he's already done.
See, I get the Gretzky thing. And I want to keep you in the line because, you know, one of the things that needs to be said about Wayne Gretzky, it's not as if his post-playing career has been one success after another as a coach or a general manager and executive. I mean, he's done great things with Team Canada. But, boy, the Phoenix, now the Arizona Coyotes, that wasn't a great situation. Like, it's not like he has the golden touch.
But you know what? This is the Golden City, and I believe that he could get players to come here, and the most important thing is he could get the right coach here.
Bob,
you need that guy. And I'll tell you the right coach, Mike Keenan.
Oh, it's an interesting thought. We've got a scoop. We've got a couple more callers I want to get to. It's an interesting thought. I don't think Mike Babcock's coming here. I think Mike Babcock would be the perfect guy just because you need somebody. I don't think you need somebody who can entertain the media. And I think you need somebody with a lot of credibility in this city as a coach, is building winners. Somebody who can explain things to people. One of the issues I have with Randy Carlisle and Ron Wilson, not so much with Peter Horacek because we don't know that yet, but they just had an annoying way of creating little controversies when it wasn't needed. They didn't do a very good job of spinning. Now, we all hate spin in this business. Fans hate spins, but it's part of the business. You've got to know how to, you got to have that balance of spinning. You got to have that balance of hammering the media over the head, of calling BS on things. You know, Bill Belichick has that balance. Scare the living bejesus out of the media. Give them information that they can use. Walk that line. We haven't really had anybody in this city who can do that. I think Mike Babcock could be the guy. He could be the guy that would look at you at a news conference and say, no, that's wrong. This is why it's wrong. This is why we do what we do. And that would get through to the fans. It's a smart hockey city. Just smart hockey fans. They're underserved hockey fans, but they're smart hockey fans. That's why a guy like Mike Babcock, to me, would be more important than Wayne Gretzky. Squeeze one more call in very quickly. Rocky and Markham, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I really believe this team is on a rebuild, because I remember last year that before Bernier was injured, they were a playoff team, and then afterwards they sunk the ship. It looks like they're sinking the ship a little bit earlier than last year. So I really believe that this team is not capable to be a playoff team, because they tend to struggle at times. And right now, with the losing streak, it looks like they're leaning towards more of a lottery pick. And this year, I would believe that it would be a perfect example to go after a player like Connor McDavid or Jack McEichel. And then afterwards, they could rebuild for another couple of years. If you look at Pittsburgh, they got Marc-Andre Fleury, first pick.
Yeah, the problem, Rocky, is you've got, in order to rebuild, you've got a lot of expensive contracts you have to get rid of, and nobody wants them. Nobody wants David Clarkson. I'm sure people would want Phil Kessel. Again, I don't want to trade Phil Kessel. James Van Riemsdyk. I don't want to trade James Van Riemsdyk. I mean, who are the guys in the Leafs that teams would be interested in? A guy like Santarelli, I want to keep Santarelli. A guy like Winnick, unless I get a draft pick for them, I want to keep Winnick. Like, the guys I want to trade, if I'm the Leafs, are James Reimer, Dion Phaneuf, maybe Tyler Bozak. Those are the guys I want to trade. David Clarkson, if I could, but that ain't happening. There's not an executive in the NHL stupid enough to take on that contract. I mean, unless Mike Milbury's been hired in the last couple of hours. There's nobody stupid enough to take on David Clarkson's contract. And that's the issue with the rebuild. And maybe the previous caller, a couple of callers ago, was right. Maybe it's a realignment. Maybe that's a word that we use. So don't forget, the Leafs will play the Arizona Coyotes tonight at the Air Canada Center. We'll have your Leafs Nation postgame, the perfect place to vent or celebrate, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Immediately after the game, you can call Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne on Leafs Nation postgame. Marty Brodeur is retiring from the NHL. We will carry that news conference live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet. That will be around 11:17. We'll break away early at that point for a special edition of Hockey Central at noon. And when we come back, Renaud Lavoie of TVA Sports will join us. He knows the Brodeur family well. He knows Marty Brodeur. We're going to talk to him about Marty Brodeur's retirement. And then Greg Wyshynski, Puck Daddy, will be along. Did you hear what the NHL's doing on its website? It's putting in fancy stats. The stats heads have won. All you old hockey guys, you've lost. The nerds rule. We'll talk to Wyshynski about that when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.